is a problem for correction and reproof. We also see in 2 Peter 1:20 and Galatians 1:11 as well. It is the delivery of the Scriptures, the demonstration of the Scriptures, the discipleship of the Scriptures, some false standards that people live by, that they see out of the Bible, and the true standards that we should live by. Those are all things that we're going to look at and see here in a bit. How were the Scriptures delivered to us? That's a question to ask yourself. How do we get this? Where did it come from? And we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, which is our Scripture reading, says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Look at that. All Scripture. What is the Scripture? Our Bible. This is the Scriptures that we have. Where did it come from? Who gave it to us? Look at Psalms 19:7. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. 2 Timothy 3:16, let's look at that again. Now let's look at where it comes from. All the Scripture comes from the inspiration of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, from the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and inspired by God, and given through by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Look what Peter says. Go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20. He says there are restrictions to the Word of God. There are restrictions. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Not one person can interpret what the Bible says when the Bible was being written, when it was being inspired by God. It was always by two. There is reality about the Word of God. Look at 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. They wrote what God gave them, the inspired Word of God. And they were only wrote when they were moved to. Now let's look at what Paul says. He says that they denied that they are from man. Paul denies that the Scriptures are from man. Look at Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was prepared of me is not after man. Well, if it's not after man, then who's it by? Declare that they are from the Master. Who's the Master? Look at Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ our Master. We see the doctrines. We see the disapproves. The Scripture disciplines. The Scripture directs. Look at Look at Psalms 119:105. Psalms 119:105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The Bible, what we have, it's what guides our way through life. It's what shows us where to go, shows us what to do, shows us what to say. Remember, it shows us the doctrine that we use, because there's a lot of different religions out there. It shows us what's disapproved of. It shows us what discipline is. And it shows us the direction that we need to go. The Word of God gives us everything we need. Everything we need in life. 100% everything. It tells us what's right or the right doctrine. It tells us what's not right. It teaches us to reproof. It tells us how to get right. How to get right with God. How to make yourself right. It corrects us. It tells us how to stay right after we've been corrected. It instructs us. The Scriptures furnish us with everything that we need. Complete. Completely furnishes. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that calleth us to the glory and virtue. Notice that all things that pertain unto life and godliness can be found in here, in the Bible. If you're not sure about something, look it up. You'll find it. I guarantee it. No need to go to a psychiatrist to get help. It's in here. It'll teach you the path you need to take. The Scriptures also make us fruitful. Talked a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 this morning in the Bible study. Look at John 15:5. We need to make sure that we carry that fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians 5 and produce it out as John 15:5 shows us. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. From without me, ye can do nothing. Let's look at some false standards in religion. Some false standards in religion. Some of those standards are feelings. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. Just because we think or we feel something should be done, you don't need to do it. How many religions, different religions are out there that have started up because it just feels good? It feels good to do it. Well, we can't say it feels good. There's a lot of things we see, examples we see in Scripture that people thought it felt good to do it, and they did it, and it was not right. Look at Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Whose will? The Father's will. Not because I feel like it should be done that way, but because God wants us to do it His way. Let's read further on. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name haven't we cast out devils in thy name? Done many wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. All these people out there that thought that it should be done that way, thought that they were teaching God's Word correctly because they feel it to be right. And our Lord plainly tells us here that just because they felt it was good, that they're not going to make it to heaven. Depart from me, you wicked and lawless one. I knew you not. Those who work iniquity because they thought or they felt it was good. We need to make sure, it's up to us to make sure that what we teach and what you believe is correct. and is not some false teaching of your own. Look at some more standards of false standards of religion. It's a conscience. Conscience is a false standard of religion. Look at Paul. Acts 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out, threatens and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, who was Saul? I think we all know who Saul is. This was the man that went and persecuted the Christians. The man that wrote the book of Romans and Galatians. He was a great writer, a great teacher, a great speaker. Later on, Saul's name he turns into Paul whenever he's converted. But here, he's still going by Saul. He was going out to martyr Christians. Now, when he done this, was he doing this with a good conscience? Yeah. He murdered Christians with a good conscience because he thought he was supposed to. What did I say? He thought he was supposed to. Because he was listening to the Pharisees and scribes, Pharisees and Sadducees. After all, he is a Pharisee. Well, let's continue on and read in Acts 23:1. And Paul earnestly behold, the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. When Paul was in front of the Sanhedrin council, speaking to them, teaching God's word, and he tells them, I have a clean conscience. My conscience is good before God. Everything I've done has been in good conscience. But we need to make sure that we don't have the false conscience, because we can have the conscience falsely and not be right with God. Let's look at some common sense. How about common sense? How is that a false standard with God in religion? Well, for one, you thought it. It's common sense. That's where you messed up. Look at Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in myself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We're not as smart as God. We don't need to try to play God. Because we use our common sense. Well, we know better than God. This is the way it should be. This feels right to me. This is the way it should be. My conscience says it should be this way. I'm going to follow it. But that's a false standard of religion. We can't use our own judgment. Can't use our own common sense. Look at Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't let your common sense get involved. Proverbs 3:6, in all the ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Always put God there to direct you. Don't go on your own thoughts, feelings, because it felt right. We can't go on that. Let's look at some other false standards in religion. What about a human creed? I think everyone here knows what a human creed is. It's the laws made by man. William actually brought me a Catholic catechism. First time I've ever seen one. It's actually a pretty big book. It's that thick. Catholic catechism. All their bylaws, teachings, or whatever else, separate and apart from what's in here. And this is relatively small print. Bigger than the Bible. Because they felt, this makes sense to me. I'm going to put this in there. I need to do it different than God does. We have to make sure that we don't let creeds get involved. Human creeds, let me rephrase that. Human creeds get involved in our worship to God, in our service to God. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the gospel, that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that he have received, let him be accursed. Anything other than what our Lord has taught us in Scripture should be shunned away from. You need to leave it alone. You don't even go near it. Even if an angel from God brings it to you, you don't listen to it because it's contrary to what God has already given. And that's what we're told. We also see Baptist churches. They have their bylaws. It's a little small book. Some of them make up their own. The Baptist Association have a bunch of them. But they make up their own laws, contrary to what God has. They have their own human creed involved in it. They're leaning on their own understanding and not God's understanding. But Matthew 5:18, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching from the doctrines the commandments of men. The doctrines and commandments of men, the human creeds that they've written to stray away from God because they think it's better than what God has already commanded them to do. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you damage aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. We see this found, and everybody knows this. Everybody knows that we don't add to the Word of God. But it's interesting to know, most people don't know you find it in the Old Testament as well as New Testament. You find it in Deuteronomy when he's speaking to Moses here. You don't add to my Word. What I tell you, you do. You also find it in Revelation, the last chapter, last verse. Anyone that adds to this book, or of course he's speaking Revelations here when he says this, anyone that adds to this book, it is in damnation. You don't do it. You have it at the beginning, you have it at the end. Common sense, or you shouldn't do it. Period. You shouldn't do it. You don't need to do it. It's going to tell us. God doesn't want it there. God does not want it there. Matthew 7:8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of man. For we full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Sometimes traditions are good. We have certain traditions here that we keep. Of course, God wants it. God showed us those traditions to use, but sometimes we have traditions of men. Some things that men put in place that they still practice. Traditions of, they have Easter Sunday. Well, we're having an Easter Sunday service. Is that ordained by God? Is that showed in Scripture? Or is that something that man says, well, it's serving God. God must like it, so we're going to do it. No, it's man-made. It's they want to do it. It's tradition of man. We need to keep tradition of man out of church, out of worship. God has given us everything that we need in Scripture. We don't need any other human creed or any other person's knowledge other than God's telling us how to serve God. Period. Look at 7:13. Mark 7:13. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. The Word of God has no effect on you if you want to put your traditions in it. You need to stay away from tradition. Stay away from human creeds, human creeds, period. Now I want to look at some true standards in religion. Let's look at the true standards in religion. Number one true standard, and I think everyone here agrees with this, the true standard in religion is the Word of God. Anyone that worships God hold God as their form of religion will tell you that, well, right here is in the Word of God. That's where we get what we do. Okay, but I just showed you that a lot of places have their own human creed. They make up their own mind. They do what they want to do. So how can other religions hold to that and be true? We have to make sure that our only standard of source of use that we do for what we serve to God comes from the Word of God. Make sure it doesn't come from our feelings. Make sure it doesn't come from our consciences. Make sure it doesn't come from any other human creed. Period. And certainly, make sure it doesn't come from our common sense. Make sure it comes from what the Word of God says. Remember, don't add or take away from this book or from the laws that He's given, or from the book. And you ask yourself, what must we do to be saved? Of course, what must we do to be saved? First, we must hear. So a lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people get it wrong on how we have to be saved. There's so many different ways out there in the religious world that show how to be saved. God's Word says that we must be saved by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. Look at Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Next, you have to believe. Well, what do you believe? Well, look at John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you have to repent. Well, repent of what? What do I need to repent for? Look at Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall not. You shall all likewise perish. Repent of your sins, your sinful past that you lived in. Repent of it and strive no more to do it. Then you must confess. What do you have to confess? Look at Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall also confess before the Father, which is in heaven. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in front of an audience, in front of men, to let them know that you love God. You're not scared. You're just to boldly stand up and say, I love God. I'm going to serve Him from this day forward. Confess that He is the Son of God, and He came here to this earth to save us from our sins. Then you have to be baptized. And a lot of people, a lot of religions miss this. You have to be baptized. We're told to. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, shall not make it to heaven. And I hit the wrong button. And then after we're baptized, we have to behave. How do you behave? What do you mean, behave? Look at Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's how we have to behave. We have to behave in being faithful to God. How do we know how to be faithful to God? What does this show us? Remember, when we're studying the Bible, it holds everything that pertains to life and godliness can be found in the Word of God. So we behave how God tells us to behave. If you truly love God, you're going to search out what you need to do to behave. Be faithful until death. The Bible is our only standard in religion. And I hope I showed you that this evening. But it is our only standard in religion. Not what we want, not what I want, what you want. It's what God wants. God is no respecter of persons. God is a jealous God. And we need to remember that. There may be some here this evening that realize that they need God in their life. Realize that they want to serve God. They love God. They're ready to make that commitment until death. Ready to put on Christ Maybe here's some that realize that they have put on Christ and erred. And they need the prayers of the congregation for forgiveness. Maybe some here that just need the prayers of the congregation because they're weak and they need strengthening. And whichever it may be, would come as we stand and sing.